The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. The poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed in their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of the widow is such a familiar text, and it seems to divide itself or separate itself very nicely into two little stories, two seemingly disconnected stories. First, we have the rich and pompous scribes. They exploit the widows, take everything they own. The scribes, they want to look good. They seek power and prestige, the best seats in the house. They want to retain their way of life. The message? Don't be like the scribes. Then comes the story of the widow. She puts two coins in the offering plate, everything she has, without a single word of complaint. Especially during stewardship season, this is a great call for us to be like the widow. Don't be like the scribes, be like the widow. Simple. Maybe not so simple. Those of us who participated in our dinner and discussion study of the story of God, the story of us by Sean Gladding, were introduced to a slightly different reading of this text. And Gladding was definitely not alone in his reading. I really like how Pastor David Lowe's very simply asks whether we hear the story of the widow as praise or as lament. Is Jesus holding up the widow as an example of great faith and commitment to stewardship? Or is Jesus expressing deep sorrow that the widow has to give away the little that she has? Is Jesus showing anger at the systems which keep the widow poor? 15 of us visited the Legacy Museum and Memorial in Montgomery this past Saturday. I encourage everyone to go. It is important for us to hear the story of institutionalized slavery and lynching in this country and in this state. As Christians, we are called to hear the cries of God's people. One of our members mentioned to an acquaintance that she was going to the museum, and she was asked why she would want to go there. It's a museum about black people. The story of slavery and lynching is not the story of black people, but it is all our stories. We are all God's children. What happens to you happens to me. What happens to my black brothers and sisters happens to me. What happened to the widow happens to us. Widows at that time were very, very much on the margins of society, alone, and at the mercy of the synagogue and the government. Yet the synagogue accepted this widow's last coins. It was Jesus who cared for the woman. He had deep mercy and concern for her. That wasn't all, though. Jesus also condemned the individual scribes who lorded over the widow, took her money, and kept her destitute. As importantly, Jesus condemned the institution which made her poor, kept her poor, accepting the last of her money under the guise of religious piety. The synagogue was not protecting the widows, the poor, the vulnerable of the earth, as it had been called to do. Instead, the synagogue lived off the widows. In the very next passage, Jesus warns that the temple will be utterly destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. This widow has given her last coins to a corrupt institution. Jesus, as he did over and over in the Gospels, turned the current systems and institutions on their heads. He fought not just to care for those who are most vulnerable to injustice, but he fought to change the institutions which keep people down. Jesus fought for justice. Lutherans and faith Lutheran are some of the best at caring for people and showing true mercy. We feed the homeless. We collect underwear for the school across the street. We provide warmth with quilts and food for those who have none. We care for children from torn families. We send money to fight malaria amongst the poorest of the poor. Have no doubt, this is critically important, absolutely critically important. In that well-loved verse from Micah, though, we are also called to do justice. One of the things that I took away from the Legacy Museum trip was the understanding that slavery, Jim Crow, racial terror lynchings are not things of the past. Wasn't there a lynching as recently as 1998 when Matthew Shepard was tied to a fence post in Wyoming and left to die? This story has been in the news recently because for 20 years his parents have been unable to bury him, afraid that gay hatred and violence would dig up the remains. A few weeks ago, he was finally laid to rest in the Washington National Cathedral. This was an actual physical lynching, which should completely horrify us. But lynching has evolved into other forms, too. The high rate of minority incarceration, presumed guilt instead of innocence, pipelines from schools to prisons, and legalized segregations, to name just a few. Institutions which keep marginalized groups in their place, while sustaining the current way of life for others. How different is this then than the corrupt synagogue which took money from the widows? How can this gospel be anything but lament, a sad and tragic lament? I think that we're called today to ponder the story of the widow deep within our hearts and let God work on us for a while. Do we see the injustice? Do we tell the story of injustice and claim it as our story too? Do we fight as Jesus did for justice? Was God with us in the voting booth on Tuesday while we sought justice for for others as Jesus did? We learned while studying the Psalms recently that all laments end with a chord of hope. When we gathered together to reflect on our visit to the museum, we looked to find God. We looked for the hope. In the museum, we saw hope in the Birmingham bus boycott, where blacks worked together in peaceful protest to change an institution. We saw hope in the fact that there is now a museum to remember and never allow us to forget. There is hope in the visitors who come and then go home to share the experience with others. This text, it seems to be so much about law, and we need the law to teach us how to care for each other. But as good Lutherans, we also search for the gospel, too. We search for the good news of the hope in Christ Jesus. When I'm hunting for the good news some days, I often have to back up and ask myself what this passage says about God. Not what it says about me, but what it says about God. The widow was likely in the margins of the synagogue when she dropped her coins into the box. I wonder if anyone saw her. She wasn't dressed well enough for others to notice what she had on. Her coins were so small that they didn't make a noise as they dropped into the box. She knew that she was at the bottom of society, and when you're one of those, you're better off staying in the shadows. Likely no one in the synagogue even noticed her. But Jesus did. Jesus was deeply aware of this widow. Jesus fought for her against people in the institution which kept her down. Jesus is deeply aware of us in our own margins. When we are brought down time and time again, when we are forgotten, when we are vulnerable, when we are one of those standing outside the circle. Jesus promises that when we are in community with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will be cared for. Jesus promises us that. We will be loved. We will be supported. We will be able to fight together for justice. Jesus knows that we, like the scribes, are so often focused on ourselves. Even so, Jesus believes in us. In you and in me, believes in us enough to use us to make a difference in another's life, to work for a more just world. We can't fight the battle on our own, but we are invited to join God in the fight for justice. Amen.